Welcome to the Halloween episode.
What are you doing? You sound dangerous.
That's what I want.
No, you want.
I am a vampire.
You want welcome to the Halloween episode.
Maybe you should be doing this one. Oh no, I've got it now. It's okay.
No, you haven't. Listen, I respect you as my co-host. I like you as a person. No, you haven't.
Oh, I've been trying really hard too.
One shit accent.
We've started now. This is it.
Oh, right. We're in the podcast.
Welcome to the Halloween minisode of Yesterday's Chip Paper. This is going to be a shorter episode filled with all of the shorter stories that we find when we're researching our longer episodes. So usually this show works in the way that every 2 weeks we will research these long stories that we find in historic newspaper archives from all over the world. My name is Violet.
And mine is the one who can do this accent semi-competently.
Oh, go away, you show off.
I'm Jim. So normally it's a very onerous task to do the sort of 20, 25 hours of research that we put into each of these episodes. And when we're doing this research, what we'll quite often come across is articles where we think they're great stories, but they don't necessarily fit the format of the show. So a lot of these stories are spooky because that's cool. But you can very rarely make a whole episode out of a ghost story because they don't exist generally.
What?
Yeah, I know. Ghosts.
I was expecting a serial style. I thought the whole idea of this new series, the Halloween series, was 9 episodes. We're going to hunt down the ghosts.
No, that's the movie series.
But we're going to go
Halloween.
Go on site.
No, you're thinking of the thing with Michael Myers. That's,
I don't want to record anymore.
I can do it on my own. I can do both voices. hey, Jim.
Go on, I dare you.
Yes, Vampire Jim. You heard this story? Yes, we researched it together because I am you. This is going to be quite a short episode.
Oh my god, it's uncanny.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'll just leave it to you.
Two shit accents.
From now on.
Okay, so yeah, so this episode, what we've done is we've collected some of these shorter stories together because we want to talk about them. And the twist on our normal format, if you've listened before, is that we haven't chosen our own stories. We've chosen stories and we sent them to the other host. So I've sent mine to Violet, she sent hers to me, and we're going to read those out. So I think it's maybe your turn to read the first one.
Yes, it is my turn.
Honestly, I think you just... Let the... I think we're in the realms of xenophobia.
So maybe? Many people tonight. So yes, let me start off with this from the Leeds Mercury on the 25th of August, 1904, running with the headline, "A Troublesome Ghost."
Very troublesome.
Haunts an old Richmond inn.
So the reason that I've chosen this article is because it's pretty actually pretty intense. It's quite scary. But then at the end, you're like, oh, I see, it's bullshit. So yeah, read on.
Oh, spoiler alert. Jesus.
Oh, it's a ghost story.
A ghost is haunting the old Cobwell's hostelry, Richmond, Surrey. Latterly, the ghost has appeared in the top floor room in which the manager of the hotel sleeps. In an interview with an evening news representative, he told a remarkable story of the apparition. Twice, shortly after midnight, he said, just when I have gone asleep, I have awakened to hear noises such as I have never heard before in my life. They are sounds which are so foreign to any experience that I have had that it is impossible for me to describe them. I have found myself in a cold sweat, shivering all over.
I'll do the sound effects.
You do a great job.
Clink, clink, clink,
as
clink,
soon as my
clink,
eyes
clink, clink,
have become accustomed to the darkness. What was that? Ding, 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 ding.
Clink, clink, clink. Oh, that's chains. And also ice.
Okay.
Ice also.
You're right. It's multi-purpose.
Yeah.
I have realized that there was someone in the room besides myself. I have waited, restless, not daring to speak, to see what would happen next. Presently, something has stolen out of the gloom and flourished brilliant lights in my face.
Yeah.
Then a wild, non-human being has gradually appeared.
Non-human.
Spellbound, I have not dared to move. Screeching and moaning, it has wandered round the room and then vanished. I have then got out of bed, searched the room all over, rushed down into the vault, and explored every nook and corner, but all to no purpose. To show that I have not imagined all this, let me tell you that on Monday morning, the screeches attracted the attention of the police.
No, they didn't.
Imagine somebody was being murdered here.
Shut up.
Wow.
That's because you were doing it.
An officer came to the front door to inquire what the matter was, and we told him that the house was haunted by a ghost. The police are investigating the weird affair, but they are as mystified as we are. And then there's a tiny little subheading here. What it is like.
What it is like.
The ghost is a long, luminous figure, dressed in some flimsy white and blue material. We have parties sitting up nightly to search for it. If I see it again, I shall shoot at it.
Shoot at it, by the way.
The only theory I have to explain for the presence of the ghost is that it is the wrath of the sailor who many years ago was robbed and murdered in this inn. It is either his ghost or that of Kate Webster, whose hand hangs up in the back... Whose hand hangs up in the back room?
So I will say... Right, two things here I will say. My only theory is the sailor, or this woman whose hand is here. And two, why is that hand still there?
I don't understand. Kate, you know, murdered her mistress in Richmond by boiling her in a copper...
What?
And then heaving her body over into the Thames.
So
why is her hand there?
Why is her hand? Because I imagine they killed her and then they cut her up and then the hand went to the end or something.
This is shoddy reporting. The other night...
On a ghost story?
The other night, Mrs. Laff, the landlord's wife, left alone to herself, was nearly terrified to death by the screeches. Mr. George... Mr. George Luff, the landlord, confirmed the manager's story and said he himself saw the mysterious reflections of light about the house. A young lady who saw the weird figure from the window of her bedroom in the quadrant, the backs of the houses of which almost faced the front of the inn, said she distinctly heard the screams and saw the figure. It only stayed for a few minutes.
She was
very much terrified and could not sleep. Yes. It is quite true, she added. The strange affair has caused a sensation in the district, and curious crowds are flocking all day to the hotel.
And what is the hotel doing when those crowds are flocking there? Selling them meats.
Opening up the rooms.
Meals, drinks,
showing
rooms.
Them the hand hanging.
Hey, you want to stay in a haunted house? That's why this is all bullshit. Because he's got press coverage based on this nonsense, and it's making him a fortune.
Rubbish press coverage.
Well, yeah. But also, like, I'm going to see the hand.
Yeah.
I'm going to see his hand.
See, that's the only, like, solid, verifiable thing in this entire story. The rest of it, I mean, that's the only thing he can prove, and that's not even... It's just left there.
I mean, he can prove...
It's a tiny little statement.
He can prove there's a hand. He can't prove whose it is.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah,
still, a hand is bloody weird, whoever's it is.
But that's why
I don't think that's the crux of it.
It's just wild, because I was reading the story and I was like, holy shit, I'm in my apartment alone, and I'm like, man, that'd be quite scary, actually. And then I was
there's a hand hanging.
The hand would be scary, the sailor would be scary, the other things would be scary.
I see.
But, there's suddenly being other people in my apartment to verify it would be very scary, because I live alone. But the actual stuff, like the screaming and everything, I'd be like, oh no! But then... If I was charging people to eat in my apartment and that brought more of them here, I'd maybe embellish a little bit. So that's my first one. I have your... Val, is this an Australian newspaper?
Yes, it is.
It is an Australian
It's
newspaper.
A Queensland paper.
Right.
One of the top seven states in Australia, I'd say.
Are there seven? There are seven, are there?
Yes.
There are seven, okay. Very good. Very good Australian humour. I hope our Australian listeners are slapping
They appreciated thighs. That. I bet they're smiling slightly at that.
And I bet the people from Queensland are like, she's from Tasmania.
Arguably. Not even a real part of the country.
They wash with seawater.
Is me chatting shit.
So the headline of this is the Maybrook Chronicle. Yeah, of course, it's called Wide Bay. This is the Maybrook Chronicle Wide Bay and Burnett Advertiser. Queensland, 27th of September 1920, and the headline is Haunted. The inhabitants of a house in a Paris street. Is this Paris, Queensland, or is this Paris, France?
No, this is Paris, France.
Okay. The inhabitants of a house in a Paris street have recently been much puzzled by strange knockings, which go on from morning till night. The house is said to be haunted, and many visitors have come from all parts to visit it. There, a young man appeared in priestly garb, whose ascetic features and seraphic charm won all hearts. He said he came from the village where Joan of Arc was born, and that the Holy Mother had appeared to him in a vision and told him to go to the haunted house in Paris, where great things would happen. They did. He conversed for a long time with the keeper of a milk shop. That does sound pretty great, actually, gotta say.
I know, get a load of this.
In an adjoining house, and when he left a sum of £44, £44 was missing from the till. The caretaker of the haunted house also came under a spell and lost her bicycle. That's great. So he went in,
it's stole really
£44, which that's a lot of money. In 1920, that's like 175 million now. And then he stole a bike and escaped on that.
Yep.
I admire
pretty
that.
Much.
I admire that.
I can't believe they fell for it.
Oh, I can believe they fell for it. It's 1920. People still believed in fucking pixies.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I can't remember what my second one is. Oh, yeah, I can. Yeah, I can.
Okay.
This is about...
opening it up.
This is about a rowdy ghost.
Oh, I like rowdy ghosts.
And it's funny because the second ties into the third in a really, really weird way. So let's go.
Nottingham Evening Post. 8th of April, 1932. Oh, man. What a headline. Woman lifted over banisters and dropped. Full stop as well. You don't see many full stops in headlines.
The guy was just like, do you understand?
She was dropped. Weird happenings in Georgian house.
Pretty weird.
An astonishing series of ghostly incidents are alleged to have occurred in a Liverpool house. A man states that he was flung downstairs, and a woman asserts that she was lifted bodily over the banisters and dropped to the floor.
Ow.
The woman was taken to hospital suffering from severe body injuries and nervous trouble. The house is an old Georgian structure, which was recently occupied by several families. On the night of occupation, a housewarming party heard strange noises. The party disbanded, and a search was made, but nothing was found. During the next three nights, unearthly sounds were heard, and the men decided to inform the police. They were leaving those chains again. The sounds a lot like the first ghost. This is weird.
There's just one ghost in my That's all I've got in my locker.
It's your repertoire.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
They were leaving the top rooms when there was a crash, and a man was found at the bottom of the stairs. He asserted that he did not slip. The climax, says the next subheading. Yeah. The climax came on the fourth night. Some families were preparing to take out furniture, and men went upstairs, followed by the eldest of the women. Suddenly she screamed when she went at the top of the stairs and was seen to go over the banisters and fall to the hall floor. She was pushed. All concerned assert that she appeared to be lifted bodily over the banisters, lifted bodily again, surrounded by a strange illumination.
Nope.
The woman, who is conscious, yesterday stated that she felt herself lifted by invisible hands.
So in that story, I think the invisible hands are actually djinn visible hands. It's far more Occam's razor. I mean, it's far more likely people just shit-faced and falling downstairs. But the reason that I put that in, and of itself is not funny.
Right.
It's like some weird domestic abuse. But when coupled with the next story that I have, it's pretty funny. So I'm going
to do... you have to run straight into it then?
No, I'll do this one and then...
Okay. Little cliffhanger there for you then.
Yeah.
Okay, so people falling downstairs, pushed downstairs.
Remember the banister.
In the dark.
Remember the banister.
Pushed bodily over banisters.
That's the important bit.
Got it. Put a pin on it.
Yeah.
We'll revisit it.
Park that. Oh, God, so you've gone Australian again.
Yeah.
And weirdly, this one's from 2016. No, it's not. It's from 1923. 25th of March, 1923. The Gloucester.
There's a little scheme I've been running back home. Oh my God, I love this one.
Actually, I did. I one of the ones I found, which I didn't include because I was like, this is just going to be giving Welsh people shit, was down a coal mine, and they thought they saw a ghost, and they reported on this ghost quite a lot. And then the final article in this reporting on the ghost was that it was a badger. And it was like, it is not, we don't suppose to know how the badger got down there. And it's like, well, it's a badger. And I just
they
like...
They borrow quite
They can
things.
Get down an air vent quite easily. Yeah. But they were like, their first assumption was ghost. Could it be a badger?
That's really funny.
We've already bought the t-shirts for I Survived the Mine Ghost. So yeah, this is the Gloucester Advocate from New South Wales on the 27th of March, 1923. And the headline is pretty compelling. The Haunting Mummy Head. The custody of a miniature human head, like a miniature episode, which is what we're doing right now, worth a considerable sum of money, not like the episode we're doing right now, but of terrifying Mien. M-I-E-N. What are you doing to me?
Mien? I don't know.
Has placed a certain London merchant in a quandary. Once it adorned the shoulders of a 16th century chief named Sansa, leader of a South American tribe who inhabited the country around Rio Ferreira. That's as close as I can get. The head is the size of an orange, good, to which it has been reduced from the north... to which it has been reduced from the normal. Has it? Right. By a secret process known only to natives.
Maybe that person just had a really small head.
Its present custodian was entrusted with it by a French explorer who wants to sell it on a commercial commission basis, which, the 20s are a different place, but fuck you, guy. So far, no purchaser has come forward, and the merchant is becoming more and more anxious to dispose of the head, which he says, fuck, I've just read ahead, which he says is haunting him. Meanwhile, it lies in cotton wool in a ping pong box. That's very good.
Bloody French
oh,
again.
No. This head is haunting me. Better put it somewhere secure, like this ping pong box. Do you want to put it in the safe? I don't want it to haunt my money.
That guy should get more inventive with his marketing. He could sell it as a ping pong ball.
He could sell it as a ping pong ball.
Paint it white.
No, don't
sell
paint
it as an orange.
Don't paint it at all. What we should
decorative
do is
paint
ping pong we should really advocate.
And it's got like one of those tails from like the hair.
We should really advocate for the desecration of people's corpses, Violet. That's what we should do on this show. So I'm glad you took the head start on that. So the last one that I have, bear in mind Bannister. Mm-hmm. The lady got thrown over the banister by ghosts.
Yeah, we remember.
All very bad.
Bad shit going on.
Bear
in
that
house
in mind as Violet reads out this article.
Western Daily Press. 7th of April, 1923. Astounding allegations against husband. Oh, okay.
Domestic abuse.
At Liverpool yesterday, John Kersey, aged 51, was remanded for a week, on a charge of inciting Frank Connolly to murder Catherine Kersey, wife of the accused. Prosecuting solicitor said that last August, prisoner insured himself and his wife under a newspaper scheme. It was alleged that he planned with Connolly for the latter to conceal himself in the bedroom, and as Mrs. Kersey came upstairs, he was to emerge covered in a white sheet.
I'm a ghost!
Jesus fucking Christ. If I get murdered by someone in a white sheet...
No, it was literally, it was literally dress up like a ghost. Come out, scare her.
And while the woman was in a state of fright, to take her by the heels and throw her over the banisters.
By the heels?
So was that bodily? Bodily over the banisters? Connolly, who regarded the plan as a joke at first, subsequently discovered that prisoner was serious and told the police. Prisoner had informed Connolly that the insurance was for £500, and if Connolly succeeded in carrying out the plan, he would receive £100 as his share. I mean, I don't know why he didn't just do it himself.
I don't know if it... Well, cause I don't,
like, this isn't a good deal.
Maybe he's allergic to linen, but I don't know if... I don't know if it's me and how I think, or if it's a combination of me and you, but I expected the ghost thing to be a big laugh. I suppose the idea of a murder plot being, okay, right, you hide in the cupboard, yeah? Put the sheet on, yeah? Ghost. Fucking ghost is terrified of ghosts. Right,
do you think,
she freezes.
Do I look enough like a ghost?
And then I grab her by the heels. Why are you grabbing her by the heels? Just don't question my methods. I'm gonna throw over the banister. The ghost element of it. He could have jumped out with a knife and just been like, I'm going to stab you. That's more scary than a man in a bedsheet. Because if you're in a bedsheet, have you ever tried to put a duvet on by climbing inside the duvet cover?
No, but I know that you are very skilled in this.
You get yourself inside a duvet cover. You're in there for 25 minutes. You ain't getting out. This shit getting caught under your feet. Your elbows are everywhere. It's sticking to you. You find socks in there you didn't even know were missing. You're not getting out.
Yes.
Yes.
This is very true.
Yes.
So this I can identify with.
This
the lost socks.
Deeply flawed plan.
So he was in there. This is why she didn't die, because he was in there and he was like, okay, I'm going to take it by the ankles now. And then he was like, oh, suck. And he mistimed it.
The reason that she didn't die is because the guy went along with it. And then when she walked in, he opened the cupboard door and said, listen, your husband's trying to kill you. He wanted to pay me to do it. But I don't want to do it.
On March 17th, when the plan was to have been carried out, the police on Connolly's information kept observation. Connolly hid in the room as suggested by prisoner, but when prisoner left the house, Connolly disclosed his presence to the man's wife. The police arrested Kersey after he had remonstrated with Connolly for failing to carry out the plan. It was stated that Kersey had been certified as sane by the prison doctor. He denied the charge.
Also, imagine, do you think he came out wearing the sheet? Do you think he was naked underneath? And he's like, madam, is this or balls?
Oh, no.
Like, what are you more scared of?
But you were just about to die, so...
So, please, accept my nudity for what it is. Salvation.
Wow.
I just thought that was nuts. Like, the idea of sitting there and being like, hey, maybe I pay a guy. Dress up like a ghost.
Does this say he was in the closet, or did I make that up?
No, I think
was I just thinking about you
and
your duvet?
Of me and my duvet.
Okay.
I did dress like a ghost for the first few episodes of this podcast, actually. didn't jump out and kill anybody, though. Still, naught for 24 or whatever on that one. So
good ratio.
Those are my stories. Did I do all yours? We did all yours, yeah?
No, you
got
one more
left. Oh, this is like finding a Terry's chocolate orange in a stocking. So, this is the Aberdeen Press and Journal, Thursday the 10th of December, 1925. These are all around the 20s and 30s.
Very popular time to haunt.
Yes. Although I guess there'd just been a pretty serious war. So, the headline is, it's letters editor, and the headline of the letter is Haunted, inverted commas, Cairngorms, Another Experience. Sir, I have been much interested in reading about your haunted hills, and it recalls to my own mind my own experience. Along with a friend, I was crossing from Aviemore to Deeside by the Larrig... the Larrig Grew. We had been informed there was a bothy near the top of the pass where we might get a rest. Unfortunately, we got involved in mist. That means they got drunk. And after repeatedly losing the path, it became too dark to proceed farther. And we took shelter behind a huge boulder. With our spirit lamp, we made ourselves a cup of tea, that means I got drunk, and prepared to rest till it was clear enough to resume our journey. We could hear
that
the...
That means they continued to get drunk.
They get drunk. We could hear the gugger jug. What's this gugger jug? We could hear the gugger jug of what we supposed to be an eagle. Is that what they do? And the occasional cough of a deer.
Those asthmatic tears you got up there.
The wind rose to a gale, and as it blew down the corries among the high cliffs, it brought with it many eerie sounds. Sometimes it sounded like a train entering a tunnel, again like a gigantic load of bricks being emptied over a precipice, and then it was the roar of a cataract. In a period of quietness, my friend said he did not want to alarm me, but he was sure we were not alone. He had heard people speaking and twice seen a light. I also had seen lights, but as they moved and disappeared, I took them to arise from straining the eyes to pierce the darkness. We agreed each to call the other's attention when the lights appeared, but after repeated trials, we came to the conclusion that it was eye strain. Yeah, I guess I'll do it. Neither of us had had experience of night sounds on a high hill, and though they were eerie enough, we concluded that they were all natural. We had intended to climb Ben Machdwy, let's go with that, and the continuance of mist rendered that impossible, and we made our way to Lynn of Deeside. Yours? December the 8th, 1925, which is a weird name. I think that a lot of that guy's a sensible guy.
He is. I like that this guy's tale of haunting is that there was no haunting.
Yeah, he's like, hey, oh wow, we thought we'd been haunted, but then we found a logical explanation. Yours, December 8th.
He needs to work on his descriptions. The gug-gug-gug of an eagle.
Yeah, oh, the gug-gug-gug. I didn't need that.
An eagle does not go gug-gug-gug. No. Maybe that was his friend also drinking.
Maybe it was a glug-a-glug. No, I think...
The cough of a deer. That was also me.
I like that. I like the idea of a cough just standing on hind legs and being like... a deer just standing on hind legs and being like... Oh, Christ. Oh, Jesus.
I've never had a deer make any sound.
I mean, we...
I was thinking about this and I was like, what sound do deer make?
Stags make crazy noises.
Stag dudes make crazier noises.
Yeah, they make crazy noises. I don't think I've ever heard a doe make a noise, but I haven't spent a great amount of time in the caring or attention of deer.
I would love to hear the description that this guy would write about the foxes that you hear outside.
Jesus, yeah. An alien being stabbed in the eye, the arse eye, twice.
They either sound like that or just like someone breathing really heavily outside, depending on the season.
Yes, they do sound like that. Of course, I live in Brooklyn, so rats. We did have a dumpster.
What sounds do the rats make?
There's just whatever sounds your trash being.
Do they sing
towards.
Dolly Parton?
No, they make some noises. We also have the occasional raccoon, but they're just pretty cool. Anyway, so this has been Planet Earth, BBC's Planet Earth podcast. the shit animals you find in conurbations. We'll be back next week with a fish I once found in a toilet. and a dead swan I saw in a canal. Thanks very much. Goodbye.
Everyone check your boots before you go outside because there's probably spiders hanging in there.
And that would be the first chapter of your autobiography. the Australia years. Okay, that's all I have.
That's all I've got.
So thank you very much for tuning in for this Halloween special. The spooky special.
That what was that?
Didn't end up being that spooky.
That's because ghosts are bullshit.
That was pretty good.
Thanks. I've been working on it all this episode.
I know, you've just been muting yourself and practicing that. We will be back with normally scheduled programming soon. So yeah, thank you very much for tuning in. All the sources that we used in this episode will be available in the episode description.
Yes, and you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Paper Podcast on both.
I forgot to mention this last time. If you get 30 seconds, you got 30 seconds in your hand, you're waiting for a bus, you're waiting for a deer who has emphysema. If you could head to...
to do what? What are you waiting for this deer to do?
They will take about a good 4.5 minutes across the street. If you're doing any of these things and you have the opportunity to just rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher or Podbean or wherever you get your podcasts, we would really, really appreciate it. It takes 30 seconds, but it really does us a lot of favours with Facebook's algorithms and all that sort of stuff. You know, we put a lot of work into this.
Shut up.
Yeah, no, but yeah, if you get the opportunity, we would genuinely appreciate it.
We would. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.